I'm convinced by the lifestyles of so many people and so many things that we witness going wrong, air quotes, wrong in a world today, it becomes pretty obvious that some people don't really know what Christian life is really all about. Is that a fair assessment? You know, and when you see that, we're make sure we're trying to be very careful not to judge, but when you see these different things take place, and then you see some of the same individuals talk about that they are lovers of Christ, that they have put on their breastplate of righteousness, and then they teach things and perhaps preach things and then live a life that is contrary or goes against the will of God, I think it warrants a lesson today that you and I can talk about the Christian life. I know that if we begin today talking about the Christian life, which we are going to, that there are so many things that we could cover. Miles and miles and miles of fields we could cover when it talks about the Christian life and all that it involves. But I want to share a few things with you today that I believe will be just some highlights. Some things that we can consider as we talk about the Christian life. Listen, it's one thing for an individual to become a Christian, but it's totally something else for one to be a Christian. Does that make any sense? There's a lot of people that become certain things, but then they quit. You know, there are people that will become a police officer, but then they quit. They become an electrician, and then they quit. They become a tow motor operator, and they quit. They become this or that, and then eventually they quit. They become a mortician, and they quit. There's a plethora of things that people get involved in, and then they quit. Sadly, it doesn't limit itself to Christian or to that. It's worked its way over into the Christian world today. There's a lot of people that have uttered the words that I love God. There's many people that have been baptized for their forgiveness of sins and was put to death, the old one put to death, and comes out in the newness of life. And then, sadly, for whatever reason, many just quit. And you know that that's a true statement. Look around you today. This building in a community this size should be packed, shouldn't it? We should have folding chairs on each side. We should have people today sending complaints to the leadership of this congregation saying, we don't have enough room in there. Tear that building down and build a bigger one. That's the way it should be today. But we have so many, air quote, reasons, end of quote, why we cannot be at the worship services of the Lord. Listen, as I said, it's one thing to become a Christian and something else to be one. I'm convinced that we could talk endless about the Christian life and all the different things that are involved in the Christian life. And some of those things are going to vary. Some of the things you may be stronger at than I am, and I may be stronger at than you are. But together we work as a team, don't we? We work as a team, helping each other to get to where God wants us to be, and that is back home with Him. Jesus says He's building us a place in His Father's mansion. Isn't that what He said? So I want to make sure that He is not building that place in vain for you and me. If you were to go up and ask a police officer what it's like to be a police officer, I'm sure that he or she could tell you story after story and thing after thing and everything it's associated. There were a bunch of stuff associated with that of being a police officer. If you were to talk to a plumber today and talk to him and say, hey, what's involved in being a plumber? The different things that they see, the hard work that they're involved in as well, they could probably tell you a lot of things associated with that. An electrician. I do some crazy things on my job as being involved in mortuary business, but an electrician, all I can say about that is you're nuts. And I tried to change a plug out, and I didn't know what that was on my hands, but I was being shocked by a little 110. And it wouldn't let go. And I mean, I was trying to do this, and then Jerry's like, Dad, call somebody. I said, Jerry, I can do this. And about the time I said this, it lit me up, and it just wasn't pleasant. Jerry was very supportive. He laughed till he cried. But the reality is electrician. But if you ask an electrician, you know, tell me some things involved with that, they'll tell you the first couple words, two or three, four words, cut the power off. And don't turn it off, cut it off. Isn't that right, Chase? All right, so if you were to go up and talk to a nurse, a doctor, an accountant, a mortician, a construction worker, a computer analyst, a sales rep, a mechanic, a teacher, a business owner, I say all that to say this, no matter who you talk to, these individuals will be able to tell you things that are associated with their occupations. Is that fair? Is that fair? All right. So you should be able today, since you can go to that nurse and that doctor and a mortician, electrician and plumber, salesperson, computer analyst, since you can go to all of them and sales reps and so on, and veterinarians, and you can go to them and talk to them about their jobs, you should be open to someone coming and talking to you about Christianity, amen? Because you, for those of you that have put on the breastplate of righteousness, for those of you that claim Christianity, you and I should be able to tell individuals about what God has done for you and about what Christ has done for you. And we should be able to share together things about Christianity. So with that being said, I want us to take a look at a lesson from God's Word today titled, The Christian Life. And I want us to take a look at God's Word today and look at many things that the Christian life is involved with. Many things that's associated and things that relate to the walk in the Christian life. Is that okay with everybody so far? The first point that I want us to examine this morning as we talk about the Christian life, let me make sure we understand this. How does one become a Christian? Now, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, in order to be an effective Christian, you've got to become a Christian. Does that make sense? There's a lot of people today that can tell you how to do certain things, but they're not involved in certain things. I don't want someone filing bankruptcy telling me how to manage my financials. I don't want a mortician telling me what I need to do as far as the way I walk in life and the physical things in life. I don't want a plumber doing my electrical work. I don't want an electrical doing my plumbing work unless you have that license. Are y'all following me at all? So if we are a child of God, if we're Christians, we should be able to relate to other people. We should be able to relate to others, the number one, the urgency of becoming a Christian. We should be able to relate to other individuals, the rewarding life that Christianity is and what that brings. But you and I should be able to talk about that. I feel the need to teach what the Bible says about how to become a Christian because there are so many so-called preachers, so-called teachers, so-called evangelists, if I may, teaching things that are in contradiction, total contradiction of what God's Word says on how to truly become a Christian. Brothers and sisters, I get sick at my stomach when I hear someone talk about how one becomes a Christian. And we hear it on these television evangelists, and we hear it on the radio all of the time when they talk about, well, if you've heard this message and you received this message, we believe you got saved. Have you ever heard of that? We believe you got saved. And if you didn't get saved, we want to help you get saved. And we believe that all you must do is just close your eyes and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Will you come into my heart? Will you be my personal Savior? And if you prayed that prayer, we believe that you got saved. Brothers and sisters, there is nowhere in the Scriptures that I've ever read from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22 have I ever read anywhere there was the prayer of the sinner's prayer. Have you ever read that? Have you ever read that, congregation? All right, so when we look at the Bible, nowhere in the Scriptures does it say, Brother Jerry, all I got to do is say, Lord, come into my heart and I'm saved. But some people argue that. They say, well, Jerry, what about the passage of Scripture that says, therefore, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Well, I don't doubt that passage of Scripture. Matter of fact, Bobby, I believe it 100%. But that's not all the Bible's talking about. It's more than a verbal utterance. Listen, Harvey, if it wasn't more than a verbal utterance, then how are you going to deal with Matthew 7:21? Not everyone who says to me shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So when these individuals and these preachers and these teachers are saying, well, all you got to do is call upon the name of the Lord, he'll come right there to your heart. Liars! That's what they are. Get away from them. That's not what the Bible says. He can't get you into heaven. Amen? Only Jesus Christ. Say it with me. I am the way, the truth, and the... And no man comes to the Father. All right, very good. And who was that speaking? Not the preacher. That was Jesus Christ, wasn't it? Just laid it out there, Tony. He said, you got to go through me. That's why you were so concerned on your baptism. Tony said, now, I'm not being baptized in this church. I'm not being baptized for any other reason except in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. Tony preached that up here for 10 minutes. I said, Tony, I promise that's what we're doing. But I appreciate his urgency, the love that he has for God to make sure that it's right. So, we need to make sure that we don't tolerate. It's probably not good grammar, but let's make sure that we're not tolerating false teaching. Amen? That we will not allow it. We will not stand for it. Oh, we'll stand for it. We're going to get up and get in your face for it. Because this is my Jesus. This is my God. and he shed his blood so that we could have this right here in front of us. It was Jesus who gave his life, giving us this opportunity at salvation. I'm not going to blow that on purpose, and I'm not going to let you blow it on purpose. Amen. Hello. All right. So let's talk about this a little bit more. So let's look at what the Bible says in regard to becoming a Christian. Some of you may know this, but we're going to find out here in just a moment. And we're not trying to embarrass ourselves or embarrass anybody, but sometimes we all need a refresher. Does that make any sense? All right, so let's look at see what the Bible says about that. How does one become a Christian today? I am convinced about these steps because the Bible shows me that this is how one becomes a Christian. First of all and foremost, a person has to hear about Jesus. Amen? You got to hear about him. And then you need to have that desire. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his what? And then do what? And follow me. So Jesus is making that very, very clear. So in order for me to want and have a desire to follow Christ, I got to hear about it. I've got to hear from Christ. How do we hear from Christ today? Through his word. Amen? Through association with other Christians that can help me in that. I love what the Bible says about this over in the book of Romans, chapter 10. I believe it's verse 17. So then faith comes by, and hearing by the... You can't argue that, can you? So when you look at that passage of Scripture, it becomes clearly evident that we are to hear the Word of God. And upon hearing the Word of God, Brother Larry, that is what's going to be our motivator, isn't it? To do next what God is calling us to do, Chase. Are you with me on this? And then we look at another passage of Scripture. Not only are we to hear God's Word, but we're also commanded to believe. Is that right, Dana? We are to believe in what the Scriptures are telling us. Mark 16, down in verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, he who believes and is shall be, but he who believes not, the Bible says, shall be condemned. Now that condemnation is talking about damnation, isn't it? It's talking about eternal life in hell, isn't it? We don't have to do that. One of the greatest blessings about today, this particular day, is we can be certain that our life is right with Jesus Christ. We can know as we leave the building today that if my life is required of me, I'm all right in God's sight. How do I know that? Am I proud? Am I puffed up? Am I arrogant? No. But I have the Bible that says this is where your life has to be to go to heaven. And yeah, we're gonna fall short. We're going to miss the mark. But by the grace of God, he's going to save us, isn't he? As long as I'm not going to keep going back in that same old intentional sin over and over and over. But that's what the Scripture says in Mark 16, 15 and 16 about believe. Believe and we'll be saved. Believe and be baptized and you'll be saved. Believe not, you'll be condemned. The Bible also tells us that we are to repent of our sins. Now let me talk to you about that repentance. That doesn't mean for 2 days. Let's be clear about that. There are people in our world that, well, I repented of my sins. When? Sunday. Well, what happened here on Tuesday? Well, I just kind of fell back in it. Okay, well, I repented Wednesday, but then Friday I was back in it again. Listen, if you repent, that's stopped the practice of. Do you get that? If I am stealing from my employer, or I'm stealing at Cool Springs Mall, and I become a Christian, I repent of my sins, guess what? I'm not going to steal from my employer. I'm not going to steal at Cool Springs Mall. Are you getting it? I'm going to cease the practice. Now, could I fall short? Yeah. Can I miss that mark? Yes. But God knows my motive and he knows my heart. If I'm walking back into that situation just to satisfy myself, then guess what? The Bible says in Hebrews 10:26, I'm going to bring it up every time. If you continue to sin willfully after knowing right from wrong, thank you. There remains no further sacrifice of that sin. So make sure that we're not continuing to sin willfully after knowing right from wrong. Repentance is necessary. Say amen if you believe it. Then the Bible tells us that a confession must take place. Now, we're not talking about a Catholic confession where you have to come up and tell the preacher or the minister, the evangelist, whoever, this is what I did, you know, wrong last Thursday at 2 o'clock. I did this, I did that. And then I say, okay, give me $20 and go clean my car wheels and you'll be forgiven. That's not what this is. The confession is talking about confessing in the presence of a witness that we believe and are convinced that Jesus is who? The Son of Almighty God. And we make that confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses. We see that with Philip in the Ethiopian eunuch. He made that confession in the presence of that witness, didn't he? And then when we have an opportunity, we make that confession. You were baptized a couple of weeks ago, and Tony stood in front of the congregation and said, "Yes, I believe that Jesus is God's Son. Yes, I believe that He died for me. Yes, I know that I'm being baptized into His name, into the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ." That's what this confession is about. Jerry, the Bible tells us that we have to do that. It's not optional, Chase. The Bible tells us in Matthew 10:32-33, if you confess me before men, I will what? Before my Father in heaven. However, if you deny me before men, I will what? Thank you, Jerry Jr. I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. And then we go on to baptism. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, Peter preached his first gospel sermon. And the people were kind of pricked in their hearts, if I may. They were touched and said, "Well, hey, we may have messed this up. What do we need to do to get straightened out?" He said, "Let every one of you repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins." In the name of who? Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And he says, "And you shall receive the greatest gift of all." It's the gift of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be sure you understand that gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't steal it. It is a gift from Almighty God. Amen? So remember that. So you are to be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21. The Bible says there is also an antitype which now saves us, namely baptism, not the removal of flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are also, according to Revelation 2, latter part of verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto, and I'll give you thee." And then the scripture shows us that we must be about our Father's business because we are indeed our... We see that over in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, when he said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." He says, "Baptize them." Is that what he said? Okay. And then after the baptism, he says, "Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." Very good. So folks, listen, there are no other ways that one can become a Christian. You are not in the position as a thief on the cross. There are some people that may think, "Well, do I really have to be baptized? A thief on the cross wasn't baptized. And the Lord said, today you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus had not died yet either, had he? Over here, Jesus hadn't died yet, has he? Which means that new law had not, what, taken effect. So what we have to make sure of is that we are doing God's way, God's way. We are making sure that we are following the Lord the way he says that we are to do. The Bible is perfectly clear on how we become a Christian. It doesn't matter what grandma said. It doesn't matter what grandpa said. It doesn't matter what papa, nanny, cousin, brother, sister, niece, nephew, brother, sister. None of that matters. Best friend, dear friend, enemy or not an enemy. It doesn't matter. What matters is this is what God says. Amen. He is the one that I'm going to follow. He is the one that we as a group of God's people are to follow. Don't follow me, don't follow Chase, don't follow Larry or anybody else. Follow God, amen? He, Jesus Christ, will get us to heaven. I had us just quote it together a while ago, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." What Jesus is saying there is you can depend on me. You want life, you got it in me. You want the truth, you got it in me. You want a way to heaven, you got it in me. Is that what he said? So then why don't we put our reliance upon him? Not worried about what Nanny and Papa says. Don't give a rat's ear what anybody else says. I care about what Jesus says, because when all this is done, and it's going quickly, brothers and sisters, I want to be in heaven with God and the heavenly host. I want to bow down and worship him forever and ever and ever. And the only way I'm going to be able to do that is to do what he's calling me to do today forever and ever and ever. Not going by what man says, but going by what God says. If you agree with that first point, say amen. If you don't, get out. Just kidding. I'm only serious. That was pretty good, though, wasn't it? Okay, the second point I want us to take a look at today is this. The Christian life involves some things. Go ahead and head to John 17. The Christian life involves this. It involves being pure, P-U-R-E. It involves being pure. The Christian life certainly to me means purity. Folks, when it comes to the purity of life, there is no humanly way possible that you and I can be of the world and of God at the same time. Does that make sense? It cannot be done. You cannot do things that are satisfying to Satan and then still please God. Amen? You cannot do that. You cannot work for United Parcel Service and draw a paycheck from Federal Express. It just is not going to work, is it? So we are either with God or we are, thank you, Chase, we are against Him. I have to think about the prayer that Jesus had for His disciples. He had this prayer for His followers over in John 17, 11 through 14, regarding being of the world and how Jesus was praying for His people. And hey, he's praying for this divine protection, if I may. Let's take a look again. John 17, 11 through 14. All found? Now, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. When I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Watch this. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those who you gave me, I kept, and none of them is lost except for the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 13, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. Go to 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I, talking about Jesus, am not of the world. Today, Christians, brothers and sisters, you are not of the world. Amen? We are of God. Say that with me. We are of God. And because we are of God, we're going to do godly things, aren't we? We're going to live that righteous life the best that we can. I have to consider James chapter 1, verse 27 as well. James 1, 27, the scripture says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world, to keep yourself without blemish. Don't get caught up in the junk of the world. Let's go back to, is that Matthew 6 maybe? Matthew 6, 24, all found? Everybody found it? All right, I only heard three people say something. Matthew 6, 24, the Bible says, no one, well, give me those first two words. None, now, as Dana would say, now none. Nobody. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and he'll be loyal to the one, and you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God in the things of the world, can you? So with Jesus telling us this, in this passage of Scripture, don't even try it. Why try? It's not going to work. You're either serving Jesus or you're serving yourself. You're serving Jesus or you're serving the world. If we're serving ourselves, that means God's not first. Matthew 6, 33. Are we so far? Are we good with that? All right. And then over in James chapter 4, verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? 1 John 2, 15 through 17, do not be of the world. Don't fall in love with the world. The world is passing away in the lust of it. He who does the will of God abide forever. You remember that? Over in 1 John 2, 15 through 17. And then, let us be reminded of what the Scripture says in Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14. The Bible says, for the grace of God, look, watch this, that brings salvation has appeared to who? All of us. Every one of us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in the present age. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God, and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, the Bible says, zealous, excited, ready for the good works. Did you catch that? That's right here, brothers and sisters, is what the Lord is talking about. When you consider purity and being pure in the Christian walk, it certainly means to avoid, listen to me, to avoid and abstain from everything that even appears evil. Do you agree with that? If you know that this television is going to cause you a problem, three words. Turn it off. If we know that this right here is going to cause us a problem, go get a flip phone like I used to carry. If we know that associating with this group of people it's going to bring me down. I'm not looking down on people, but it's going to bring me down from the righteousness of God to the pits of hell. Then I need to change who I'm associating with, don't I? Not because of them, but because of me. Because I'm weak in influence. Anybody in here, can you be influenced easily besides a preacher? Tony can, I can, Chase can, the rest of y'all liars. But the reality is we can be easily influenced. If you don't believe me, get around somebody that talks dirty all the time. It won't be long, you'll be talking dirty. Get around other Christians that you know don't carry on conversation like that, you won't do it. Amen? If you get around people that are of God, you get around people that are Christ-like, it's going to help you to stay Christ-like. It's easy right here. I've said this so many times before. I had a lady that complained on the way out. You shouldn't have said that. Well, I did. I'm going to do it again. It is easy here at 613 James Avenue. You know why, Tony? Because this is a controlled environment, isn't it, Larry? We've got leaders of the church. We've got a preacher. We've got good members. We've got this. It's easy for me to come in here and not throw bad language. It's easy for me to come in here and not have an attitude. Of course, some of us have them anyway. I know I do from time to time. But it's easy. Seriously speaking, it's easy as long as we're in a controlled environment. But our challenge is outside of those double doors, isn't it? That's where people are watching us. I did a lesson, Jared, about 5 years ago. And the lesson was titled, perhaps y'all might remember it, I don't know, on the outside looking in and the inside looking out. Y'all remember that? And it was wondering, when people are on the outside looking at the church, are they confused? Because some of the people on the inside of the church today are some of the meanest prune-faced people you'll ever see in your life. And you think, well, why in the heavens would I want to be part of that group? Look at him. I ain't seen a smile on his face, and I've been there 10 times. Look at this old grumpy dude. Man, somebody needs to catch him out back and do a little tune-up. And then you see some people, sadly, and sadly it scares me to death, what have I done wrong? Who have I created the stumbling blocks for? We need to all ask ourselves questions. By my conduct, by my mouth, by my actions, by my reactions, have I created a stumbling block for other people? Yeah, I'm sure I have. But I'm going to practice it. I'm going to do everything that I can not to do it again. Will I fall short? Yeah. But I'm going to do everything I can to be better and better and better, a better ambassador for Jesus Christ. We got to do better. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Anybody know what the Bible says? You got it. Abstain from every form of evil. Leave it alone. I've gotten calls before from folks in the congregation. Jerry, this is what I'm up against. How do I do it? You know what my responses are? Don't. Oh, what? Well, there you go. And so you love God or you love the devil. Who do you love? And that's how we help make our decisions. And I'm only saying that because that's what I have to do personally. And when I'm faced with those choices, this is pretty enticing. Wow, this is really enticing. And I want to go over there, Larry. I got to go. Okay, and here's God looking at me going with his hands up. And then I think about Jesus with his hands tied, and I'm like, nah, I'll be able to go back over here. Don't thank you for the offer, just get out. We need to be aware of Satan and his attacks. 1 Peter 5:8, Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because you're adversary of the devil. Thank you, Bobby. Walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. So we need to make sure that we abstain from those appearances of evil. Be sure, according to the Bible, that we are doing what God is calling us to do. Folks, being pure, according to Scripture, is going to require some things, isn't it? Y'all agree with that? It's going to require some stuff. It's going to require you and me to drop some of our habits. I don't like that. That's uncomfortable. It's going to require us to clean house a little bit, get rid of some things in our life and maybe some people in our lives. It's going to make sure that we're not creating stumbling blocks for other people or ourselves. It's not always easy. Luke 9:23, if you want to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross. All right. Listen to me. We cannot approach God's throne with filth and rubbish. Do you agree with that? We should not approach God's throne with filth and rubbish in our heart. When we come to Jesus, we come to God, the very first time we showed up, and I love what the Bible says, as filthy what? Anybody know? No, you don't. As filthy rags, the Bible says. That's how we show up. But how are we cleansed? By the blood of? Y'all are so excited. By the blood of? There you go. Thank you, Chase and Jerry only. But by the blood of Christ, that's how we are cleansed today, isn't it? Man, I'm going to call a doctor for this side. All right, let's keep going. Y'all ready for your third point? Are you ready, Heather? Are you watching this? Because I'm going to call on you 3 times on this one. He goes, no, you're not. Okay. Let's do it. Let's watch this one. Your next point. Now, we remember the Christian life involves being pure. Did we agree with that? the Christian life also involves service. Serving in the Lord's army. Say that with me. Serving in the Lord's army. So I'm going to go ahead and head back to the book of Psalm. I hope you will as well. I got to speed it up. We're running out of time. But I got to show you this real quick. The Christian life involves service. Serving in the Lord's army. The Christian life involves service after your enlistment. Does that make sense? When you're enlisted in the Lord's army through that baptism, no, you ain't going home and getting on the couch and kicking back and watching Days of Our Lives and expect everybody to do everything for you. No, it's time to get busy. It's time to get working in the vineyard of the Lord, isn't it? You enlisted. It was your choice. You're the one that says, I want to become a Christian. Well, you did. You joined the army of the Lord. Now, are you going to be a soldier or are you going to be AWOL? The choice is yours. Are you going to be one that can't be found? I don't know where he's at. I don't know where she's at. Or are you going to be one that's a faithful soldier in Jesus' army? Are you going to be one that is marching as Christ would have you to march? Psalm 100, 1 through 5, quickly. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with what? Glad. There you go. You sounded happy for a change. Come before his presence with what? Singing. Watch this. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and a sheep for his pasture. Enter into his gates with what, brothers and sisters? Thanksgiving, and unto his courts with praise. Be thankful to him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to... How far does the truth endure? Thank you, Teresa, to all generations. That passage alone ought to tickle us absolutely to death. Sometimes soldiers in the Lord's army, they grow weary. They get tired. Other Christians beat them up. Do you believe that other Christians beat other Christians up? Man, they'll slaughter you if you'll let them. I promise you. I'm not trying to discourage you, but some of the hardest core people, seriously speaking, that I deal with, not only in the mortuary business industry, but also as a minister, are other people of the household of faith. And I know I've not always been an angel. Lord knows I've messed up many times, and I promise you, it's not intentional. But some of the hardest core people that you work with, that you have to deal with, are other Christians. It would not be that way, should it? All right, so we want to make sure that when we are facing adversity and people are saying those negative things against us and they've always got, they're not going to bring up the good stuff. They might say one good item and 15 bad items. Is that about right? Isn't that about the way it works? But what you and I, what we're going to do, Courtney, what we're going to do is we're going to stay faithful, aren't we? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Bible says, Jerry and Courtney, that's what the Bible says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's what the Bible says about that. Work in the Lord and working for the Lord according to his gospel. Teaching, preaching, taking the gospel to other people. Matthew 28:18-20. Serving the Lord means to give completely of ourselves to him. We are to present ourselves as a living what? Very good, Heather. I told you, that's your third. You did good. A living sacrifice. Romans 12:1-2. And then the Bible tells us over in Matthew 6:33, seek ye the kingdom of God and his, and all of these things, what's going to happen? So all these things shall be added unto you. So, serving in the Lord's army. Let's close our lesson out. Here it is, the last part. The Christian life means, as we close, Teresa, it means blessings, doesn't it? How are y'all not smiling? The Christian life means blessings for us. Isn't that awesome? I mean, there is no greater thing in all the world than being blessed by our Heavenly Father. Yes, it is a true fact that the Christian life is a disciplined life. It is a well-structured life. It's a life that is guided by God's holy word. And if you think about what the scripture says about that, go with me to Psalm 119. No, you do that later because it's a lot of reading. I've got to get you out of here. That's 16 verses that the Bible's talking about living and having the blessings of the Lord. Listen, one of the greatest blessings that I love as a Christian is this. I always am thrilled to know that as a Christian, I'm in the very presence of God. Amen? As a Christian, Jesus is in your presence. As a Christian, we know that we can go to him anytime we want. I can go literally, not figuratively, but literally to the throne of God by praying through his son. Isn't that cool? I can hear the voice of God, not audibly, but I can hear what He's got to say by reading and studying His Word. That is a beautiful blessing given to us by our Heavenly Father. I love the fact that Jesus is never going to leave me or forsake me. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I'll never leave you, nor will I what? Forsake you. Friends, that is huge, just knowing that as a Christian, if we remain faithful, that Christ will never leave us. The Christian life means blessings, and as I close here, it means the avenue of prayer, John 9:31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of Him and does His will, He hears them. We also have His Word available for us, 2 Timothy 3:15 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Is that what the Bible says? So we have God's Word right there in front of us. What a blessing. We have fellowship with the saints and fellowship with God when we become a Christian. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as His, in the light we have fellowship with one another, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all of our sins. Not only that, we've got the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38. As I have been added to His body, added to the church, that's a beautiful blessing. Acts 2, verse 47. I'm a member of the greatest thing in all of the world, member of the body of Christ, member of His church. Acts 2, verse 47. Having favor with all of the people, the Lord added to the church daily those that are being saved. Man, ain't nothing greater than that. And ultimately, I have a home in heaven being prepared for me individually. John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many. If it were not so, I would have. Good. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive it to myself, that where I am, there. That's 6. You'll be also. So where are we today? Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? If not, become one today. Don't, please, I'm begging you in light of the Scriptures, don't leave the building still lost. That just doesn't make sense. I don't get it. You're not satisfying me, you're satisfying God, but don't leave the building lost. If your life is required of you today and you knew better and you knew what you needed to do and you didn't do it, you're going to hell, according to the Bible. I want to share heaven with all of us. I want me and you to share heaven together. Get it right, but do what God's coming to do. Amen. Confess. I showed you that. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Hear God's word. I jumped that one. But hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and live faithful unto death. And always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Maybe today you are a Christian, hadn't been living right. You know what? Don't beat yourself up for it. Just learn from those mistakes. Walk in the newness of life again. Be restored like he did just a few weeks ago. Get your life right like Tony did just a few weeks ago. Let's do what God's calling us to do. Let's share heaven together. If you have a need, you need it all. Come now, it's together we stand and we sing.